Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, here with my best friend Haas.
Hooray!
And I have never been so unprepared for a show, ever. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been this unprepared.
It looks like you've had a busy day.
Yes. I mean, I shot a wedding yesterday and then got up this morning. Rocky had hockey first thing in the morning. Then I had a shoot in the afternoon. And then Libby Lou had her first ever soccer game that we literally just walked in the door for from. And walked in and sat down. So,
nice.
Yeah, fun times.
How was the game?
It was fantastic. Libby Lou was so good.
Good.
Like, really, every time she got the ball, she carried it really well. And but she was pissed because they lost, you know. And so she threw her water bottle and didn't want to play anymore. And she's over it now. She's in the bath now.
All right.
She was mad at everybody. She was mad at the ref and the goalie and She said she thought it would be easy and they would just win the games.
Well, we all have to.
I don't know if the other girls on the team even know that they lost.
Really?
It's just, I gave birth to very competitive children.
Is it one of those leagues where, like, if you're not keeping track of the score, you don't know what the score is?
Yeah, except for today when they beat us like 7-0. But the team we are playing, see, we're in the SKYSA League. And if the team you're playing against is not wearing the SKYSA jerseys and they've got their own team jersey, that's a really good indication that they play all season, or at least indoor, or maybe they're a club team. So this team had played with, have been playing much longer than us.
Right.
And they had a lot more girls than us. So I thought all the girls did great. So I was just excited to see Libby Lou try a sport.
If you have problems with the coach, let me know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, he wasn't there today. He was out of town. It was a different coach. So. But, yeah, in the future, I will let you know. How did the Blues do today?
They did well. They have a split squad game. They played early today at home and won 7-3.
Yeah.
And they should be, as we are recording this, getting ready to face off the second part of the game in Columbus tonight.
Okay, so, like, the team literally split in half.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, they do that quite a bit, especially early on, because you've got so many guys that you're evaluating on, are they going to make the team?
And, I mean, half of our big players are still playing in the World Cup, at least the Russians.
Well, two of us now, because we've got a final set.
Is it Russia and Canada?
No, they played last night.
They played last night, and
Canada won 5-3.
So Tarasenko should be heading home soon.
Tarasenko's heading home.
And then Europe won today?
Europe won in overtime.
Who is on the European team that we know?
I don't know if we have anyone on Team Europe.
Okay.
We had Berglund on Sweden, who was the replacement for the replacement of Steen. So I think the only Blues now still active are Petro and Bomeister for Canada.
All right. Did you see in the preseason game, I don't think we talked about this, but Backes just leveled Pietrangelo.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so funny how that's, because they're like best friends.
Did you see his comment after USA got eliminated?
No. Whose comment?
Well, it started with, you know that Phil Kessel didn't make the team.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of people who thought he should have made the team over David Backes.
Okay.
So USA loses their last game, so they've gone 0-3 in the tournament.
Right. Horrible.
And Phil Kessel tweets out, just sitting here, doing nothing.
Oh.
Feels like I might have should have been doing something this week. So I don't know if it was a tweet back or if he just said it in an interview, but someone asked Backes if he saw the comment. He goes, I'll reply during the season.
Of course he will.
So basically, he's going to, because they're in the same conference now, I don't think they're in the same division.
That's awesome.
But I would imagine Phil Kessel's going to get stapled to a board.
I think he is too, because, you know, Backes ain't no holla back girl. He ain't going to, he's not going to be like clapping back at someone like that. He's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
But we'll keep an eye on it. Speaking of the Blues, we are getting really, really close to our Blues Wives show.
Yep.
I'm working with the girls this week to get the final group of girls settled down, but we're going to be taking, if you missed the show last year, it's still up online somewhere. It's so much fun. So we bring in the wives and the longtime girlfriends of the blues players, and we ask them, you know, questions about themselves and their players, and then we do like a trivia round of like a know your husband or know your hockey,
right.
And that's really fun. And then we do a whole segment where we take questions from the youth hockey players around the area. And last year, Rocky came in and read them, and it was so cute because the kids were asking, like, you know, what is Ryan Reeves order at Taco Bell? And, you know,
nice.
And like, what's their favorite pump up song? And who's the messiest in the locker room? And who's their best friend? And so if you have a youth hockey player and he has a question for one of the Blues, specifically if it's Reeves, Steen, Shattenkirk, Petro, or Reeves. Did I say Reeves twice?
Yeah, you kind of bookended it with Reeves. Crap. That's fine.
Stastny. Stastny.
Oh, nice.
So if you have a youth hockey player that wants to ask any of those guys questions, just email them to heykelly@kellymano.com, and I will read them on the air and say your player's name and what team he plays for, and they can listen to the show, and it'll be lots of fun. But get him
in
this
week.
It's
going to be a fun. God, I'm glad hockey's back.
It's almost... You know, I'm a Christian, so I don't like to be sacrilegious, but going to, like, the home opener is, like, a religious experience for me.
I have to miss it this year. I have tickets.
You have to miss the home opener?
I bought the 12-game plan to get the Winter Classic tickets.
Yeah.
I have a concert in town the same night as the home opener.
Oh, that's right. And it's Usual Suspect, right?
Yeah, it's your highly suspect. Highly suspect in town.
Usual Suspect.
In Delmar Hall. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, can I make this work? Like, when do they go
do
on?
Do half and half.
There's no way.
Damn it.
So the first game of my 12-game plan, and I'm going to have to, you know, not use them.
Oh, good. Are you selling them?
I haven't decided yet. I thought about selling them just to try to recoup some of the money because I had to buy Winter Classic tickets on top of that.
Right.
And then part of me is like, I don't want to sell them. Like, it's opening night.
Well, we will happily take them off your hands because we're going to go. We'll just have to buy extra tickets because there's too many of us.
I believe the seats, my season tickets this year are where we sat for the Capitals game.
Ooh, where was that?
Top row, the lower bowl.
Oh, yeah, the back row.
Behind where the Blues defend twice.
Yep.
And I'm on an aisle.
That's awesome.
So I think they're like right around where we sat for that game.
Yep, that we will take them off your hands. Speaking of hockey, Jimmy, can you come in here? I'm going to bring my husband in here because we're going to have a little conversation about why Haas is the worst fake uncle on the planet.
I am not the worst because I admitted my mistake.
You did admit your mistake, but however, it still has to go down as...
It's pretty awesome.
As the worst... I'll go ahead and play a little blues march here in the background. But so our son, Rocky, is 11 years old, and he just switched hockey clubs. Now, he's been with the same hockey club since he was 4 years old. He is switching over to the St. Peter's Spirit. It was a long, thought-out decision, but we are excited for his new opportunities, and... We find out with like very little notice, hey, Rocky's got a tryout on Friday night with the Spirit. And Jimmy and I look at our calendars. We're both working. And since we were both working, we already had Aunt Patty pegged in to babysit the kids. However, the thought of Aunt Patty having to take Rocky to a hockey tryout
would have been a nightmare.
Right, because number one, she doesn't watch or know anything about hockey. Number two, she would have had to chase the girls around. And number three, because it's a tryout, we wanted to know how he did because he was trying out for one of the A teams. And if he didn't make it, we wanted somebody who knows a little bit about hockey to be there. Right, Jimmy? Am I missing any part of that?
No, you got it all right. I mean... because since you were going to be working a wedding, I was going to work a gig, and we know that Haas, knowing as much about hockey as he knows, could give us like a regular text update. Yeah. How's Rocky doing? How does he look compared to the other kids?
And Haas loves Rocky.
Yeah.
So
and keep in mind, I'm on edge to begin with, because the last time I was around youth hockey, I got confronted by someone who thought I was trying to abduct a child.
That's true.
You got kicked out. Well, you're 7 feet tall. You don't exactly blend in.
No, never.
With your backpack.
No.
So I text Haas. I'm like, hey, do you want to play uncle on Friday night and take Rocky to this practice? And text us updates on how he's doing. Again, just so that we had some honest feedback from someone. And I mean, I know, you know, so you picked Rocky up fine, right?
Yeah, everything was good.
No problem.
I'm glad we talked because you said he's got to go to the Lynnwood Iceplex. So
yeah.
I mean, it was like, all right, cool, we're going to Lynnwood campus. Not the case.
No.
Go the opposite way.
Yes.
You go to Wentzville. So we get there and it's fine. The first hiccup is as we're walking up, some guy goes, hey, are you here for the tryouts? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, well, just so you know, the 7:30 group didn't show up. Like, no coach, nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there like, great, did we just drive out here for nothing?
For nothing.
But, you know,
right.
Slowly but surely. And like, we get there, like, Rocky's the first one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, go suit up. Because yep. I was like, even if there's no tryout, you're going to get an hour of ice time by yourself. So do your thing. And as he's suiting up, like, more people come in. I'm like, all right, cool. This is happening.
So we're in. How many people thought you were like his dad or something?
No one talked to me until afterwards about it. But, you know, so people start filing in. I'm like, all right, we're here. So I grab a coffee and sit down in the stands, me and like three other people.
Yep. And so did you give Rocky any sort of pep talk? All I kept thinking was.
I did.
Like, please don't say a bunch of F words in front of my kid.
No,
like,
I was really cool.
And I thought, what if his text goes off and it's like a picture of a naked girl and the phone's by Rocky?
I will say we were driving to the game and I just had my iPod on shuffle.
Yeah.
And we were listening to, I think it was an Alkaline Trio song. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, this is fine. And as soon as in my mind, I'm like, this song is fine for kids.
Right.
Here drops a clear as day MF. And Rock, and I don't even look over. I just, out of my peripheral, see this kid's head go.
Rocky's like the cussing police.
And I was like,
I don't know.
I'm just like, we're going to ignore this. We're going to ignore this. Keep driving. So Rocky changes out and he comes out. It's really cool how their ice works. You go straight from the locker room to like a 5-foot little hall onto the ice.
Yeah.
So I stop him as he comes by me. I go, hey, man, just remember, this is a tryout for you. I said, so you know what you can do, but you got to show everyone else. I said, you have skills. But I said, you gotta work. I said, go 100% everything they do. I said, don't be afraid to ask questions, but
right. You
got to go out there and show them that you can do everything that you know you can. He's like, all right, cool. And like, he did a couple laps around the ice, and he came over and shot a puck at the glass in front of me. So like, we had a good interaction before things started. So
right. I
felt really confident.
And then I'm at my wedding, and I even warned my second photographer, Donna. I was like, hey, I might be on my phone a lot during the reception because Rocky's at this tryout and I need to get some feedback. And so I start getting the, I don't know if Jimmy was getting the same text messages as I was or different ones.
Oh, we can compare because I've got mine ready to go too.
So my first one, I mean, Hoss is not a BSer, you know, but he also loves my kids. And so, you know, so the first text I got, let me see here.
I think it was something about that they were doing drills. And they had Rocky on a line with two really tiny kids who were crazy fast.
Right. That's
which, just because of that, made him look slower than he really is.
Right. So I wrote him, and I'm like, hey, any update? What's up? And he said, here we go. We're going to find it. Yeah, he said, you know, they just started, you know, doing skills length of the ice. They have two really small kids on the same line as him. So compared to them, he looks slow. And I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, all right. So he's having a rough start. No big deal. A little bit later, I'm like, okay. I said, that's fine. You know, because Rocky's not a little wiry forward.
No, not at all.
You know, and you can't have a whole team of those. So
agreed.
I know that's not his strong suit. And so we're waiting a little bit later. I'm like, okay, Haas, anything else? And he's like, yeah, he's like, there are more drills. He said he didn't have the best hands on the last drill, but I'd say overall he's holding his own.
Here, let me throw one in here real quick. Because at this point I'm getting a little bit worried, you know. So I send
me too, because Rocky's a pretty hard worker.
Right.
And I just thought,
I've seen him play.
You've seen him play a couple of times.
And I'm getting worried because I've seen him at games and I'm like, what is wrong with this kid? Like, is it nerves? What's going on?
Yeah. So I send to Haas, I say, would you say he's the worst one out there or somewhere in the middle? Because I don't want him to be the worst one out there.
No.
Yeah,
you
know? That was not a problem.
All right. Well, he said, well, there's one kid who keeps falling over, so he's definitely not the worst. Lol. LOL. So at that point, I'm like, oh, crap. He's like the second. Okay.
He's the second worst.
Man.
And so at this point, I even was talking to Donna. I'm like, hey, I'm like, Rocky must be having a really bad tryout. But you know what? Maybe it wasn't meant to be. Maybe he's not supposed to be on this team.
How rude.
And then comes...
So about that time...
Yeah.
They start doing defense to offense transition drills. And at that point, I'm watching Rocky.
And you're used to him being a defense because he was on D last year.
So I'm watching Rocky take the puck on defense, transition to offense. And then I see Rocky skate in front and take the puck on offense and go. And it dawns on me... that for the first 45 minutes of this tryout, I'm watching the wrong damn kid.
And not only is he watching the wrong kid,
I am struggling to find good things to say about the kid that I'm watching. Because
really
I believe, as I relay to Kelly and Jimmy, the good news is Rocky's having a great tryout. The bad news is the kid I've been watching for the first 45 minutes was not Rocky.
Yeah.
So translation, Rocky good, not Rocky, really kind of sucks.
And, he didn't notice it for 45 minutes. Now, practice is only 60 minutes long.
Nah, this is a little bit longer than that. I bet you guys were out there for 90.
Right. And so, basically from there, I just sort of texted Haas and I said, we appreciate everything that you have done for us.
You suck.
You are the worst fake uncle we have ever used in
our
entire life.
Which is what's funny, because the kid that I was basing Rocky off of,
the fake Rocky,
was Rocky. So
him to Rocky, because obviously they must have been kind of the same size for you to think it was Rocky, because Rocky's a big kid.
Real Rocky's a little taller.
Yeah.
Was he wearing the
No.
We're not identifying.
We can't talk about
who
that.
Fake Rocky is. Okay.
Once it skated through and I realized, I'm like, oh God, thank you so much. Because I was sitting there, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen, but there is no way this kid is making this team.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm playing music while all this is going on. I am literally trying to play my guitar while texting with my right hand, which I looked ridiculous, but this was my favorite. So Haas gives me the good news, bad news. Which do you want first? And I'm like, at the same time while I'm trying to play guitar. He writes, good news, Rocky is doing really well. Bad news, Rocky is doing way better than the kid I thought was Rocky for the first 45 minutes. And then he shoots me this gem. Reason 4,009,312 why I'm not ready to be a dad. I just spent the first hour of a hockey practice watching the wrong effing kid.
You know what? It happens sometimes. But even with...
In fairness, he's wearing a helmet with a mask.
But even through the worst uncling in the world, Rocky Mano made the team.
He did. He did really, really well. Yeah, it was like I said, once I had my eyes on the right kid, like, he's up there with the best kids on the team. Like, he really is. That's why I was so like, what is going on?
Right, right, yeah.
The first 40 minutes, because I'm like, this is not the kid that I've seen before. Like, this kid was like... They were doing drills where you had to go through, like, they had one forward go down to the corner, another forward come down the slot, pass to the middle, take a shot on goal. The kid who I was thinking was Rocky could not accept the pass, at all.
Yeah, well, Rocky had his first practice game today, and Rocky, are you excited to be a member of the St. Peter's Spirit?
Yes, and by the way, the best part about my trial, was after... going to Dairy Queen, getting a sundae.
That's
it was amazing.
Well, Haas got you hooked up with the sundae.
Which are my typo that you're like, that really couldn't have been a typo, and I would have been just as happy with it. I was like, by the way, I would say that
Rocky is holding his own good on the ice.
Yeah, Rocky's holding his own good on the ice, and it translated to, thanks to autocorrect, Rocky's holding his own food on the ice.
And I wrote back, I would not be surprised in the least bit if Rocky was holding food on the ice. We will be right back.
Never do that.
Kelly Mano Radio Show. Earth.
Ladies, dance is the new yoga. If you're interested in a new and exciting place to move your body, have fun, and make new friends, look no further than Sacred Movement. Sacred Movement is a warm, safe, and inviting studio that will help you discover your inner goddess. They offer a variety of feminine movement classes, meditation classes, women's workshops, and monthly red tent gatherings. For more information or to register for classes, visit them on the web at sacredmovementstudio.com or call 314-398-8184. Be sure and mention you heard it on The Kelly Mano Show. Sacred Movement, where women go for dance, community, and empowerment.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because The Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
You take my money,
Well, I'm in need. Yes, it's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over time. That digs on me.
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
What can I say? I raise flexible children. Now we've got Lucy in here doing her weirdo flips. She's not even in gymnastics. She hasn't been in gymnastics in years.
You do things that make me cry. Just thinking about me trying to do those.
All right. Hey, mommy's going to do a show. Can you step out? You can't stay. No, you can't do flips. We have to talk about stuff. We have to talk about the creepy clowns in Granite City.
Oh. Wait, are the clowns in Granite now?
Well, supposedly they are. I personally think that it is a big lie because I actually saw, you know, the original poster of the guy in Granite City who was like a kid. Mm-hmm. He's like, we spotted the clown in Granite City's Wilson Park, and he put up a picture. It was the same picture that the Daily Mail used from a clown in like
South Carolina, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, and everybody called him out on it immediately. They're like, that is not the clown. You know, but the people who didn't know, you know, because I've got a lot of friends from Granite City on Facebook, it was like an instant hunt for that clown. Like, it was like, who can kick his ass first? Ugh. Like, every, like, you know, Bob, Billy Bob, mm-mm, and mm-mm, Jim Bob were on Facebook Live. Like, we're hunting clowns in Granite City. And it made the news. It made every news station picked it up. They were not able to find the clown. Again, I think it was somebody that just made it up. Mm-mm. So, because, I mean, also, like, Madison County is, unless something's changed, like, the Granite City area, they're the leader in conceal and carry permits.
Yeah.
And you can't just go whacking off clowns. But, I mean, if I were going to dress in a clown outfit and try to scare somebody, like, a Midwest steel town would not be the place
no.
I would start.
First of all, let's talk about clowns in general.
They are terrible.
Yeah. I don't know when the shift happened from clowns being happy to clowns being terrifying. I mean, obviously, probably sometime around the time of Stephen King's It.
Right.
But clowns are creepy as hell.
I've never liked them.
No, me neither.
I think that shift happened when that movie It came out.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it. I don't watch scary movies.
It's really good. They're actually remaking it right now.
Ew, why? Well, I guess because...
Because everything is getting remade.
You know what I just saw? My friend Stacey Booty online. Like, now that the winter or the Halloween is almost here, they're doing these like overnight tours in the this haunted state penitentiary.
It's not just for Halloween, it's year round. I want to do it bad.
You want
to
do it?
I would
maybe
love
that's
to.
What we should do for the Halloween show.
I would love to do that.
And not even as much the Halloween show, but just go and do it on Facebook Live.
I would like to, and if we can't do that, again, I got a call into my buddy Luke who runs all the stuff in Alton.
I wonder if he could come with us.
Which is incredibly haunted. But he does a lot of paranormal, like he quit his day job and now like he's a ghost hunter.
That's what he does.
That's his job.
Well, you know, back when I was on Steve in DC, we would solicit for families, like families whose houses were haunted, and we would go to their houses with ghost hunters and try to help them, you know, and things like that. And oh my God, Jimmy, how much did I hate the Halloween shows? I mean, like I would be out in the front yard the whole time. I wouldn't even go in.
Oh, and we've had some really legit scary crap. Do you remember Bob, Pastor Bob?
Bob Larson.
Bob Larson. He performs exorcisms.
Oh. I don't know if I could be there for that.
You don't want to.
Oh, I'm going to go there. All right, I'm going to go
there.
Are you
going to tell him what happened? Yeah.
So we went to a house that actually was somewhere here in St. Charles County,
okay?
Where they felt there was like some demonic spirits happening, a lot of real ghostly things. The father in the house found this weird rock that he was attached to. That all the family wanted him to get rid of this rock. He wouldn't do it. It's very weird. This guy comes from Arizona. This pastor Bob Larson, who specializes in demonology and all this stuff and exorcisms, and he's like, "Yeah, there is something here," and he's doing all of this sort of, you know, biblical stuff. He's trying to exorcise the demons.
He was trying to get us to all pray, and the dad was like, my knees are bad. I can't pray.
Yeah,
and
the dad was freaking out.
Do you think, sidebar, that this pastor ever goes anywhere and is like, nah, we're good, I'm going back home.
He's pretty highly regarded.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the, but yeah, I mean, there's plenty of quacks out there, but this is the one time that I will give complete credit to DC Chimes, because we walked in that house, we weren't even there 10 minutes, and the dad started getting agitated. Whenever we wanted him to pray, he wouldn't pray. He wouldn't get rid of this rock. He was getting mad at Bob. He didn't want to break it. And DC turns around to me, because I'm an intern and I'm new. And he looks at me and he says, this man is possessed. He said, I need you to go in their bedroom and make sure he doesn't have a weapon. And I'm like, what? He's like, go in their bedroom and make sure. He said, just check a couple obvious places, make sure he doesn't have a gun. So I go in as an intern in these people's bedroom and I pull up in their nightstand drawer. And guess what I find?
A bunch of double-headed dildos.
A triple
remote. No, not my house. Their house.
No, it was an entire drawer of sex toys. And
so double-headed dildos. Yeah. No, hey, where's the bell? Ding, 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 ding.
The thing on top, it said triple ripple butt plug. I don't even know what that is. And I
that's
come,
a butt plug that has three ripples.
Three ripples.
I come back
not
out.
Not two.
You see, she's used to the quadruple ripple.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But I came out looking like a ghost, and DC's like, did you find something? I'm like, no, but I found a bunch of other freaky shit, and I'm not going back there.
Right.
Yeah, so fast forward a couple of years, and this is awful. The guy murdered his entire family.
Yeah.
Totally pulled an Amityville Horror.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He did the thing on the side of the road where he pretended like their car broke down, and he went to go get help, and he said while they were gone that they were killed. But it came to find out he ended up getting arrested for it. And
wow.
So, yeah, that whole thing was jacked up. We went to there was a lot of spots. We hit some of the spots in Alton that have reputations for being haunted, and we did all of those. We did a house in Chesterfield that had ruins of a small village in the backyard, and there was a lot of weird spirit. Yeah.
The one house that really freaked me out was the one that said that their walls growled.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
I know. Yeah, their walls growled.
I am oddly fascinated by things like that.
Yeah.
I've done the Alton tour twice, and I've done Luke's, and like, there's some of the tour, like there's three or four companies that do tours out there because mm-hmm. Alton yeah. is so known for being haunted. And there's some of them who I won't name names, but kind of plant stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Luke, the first thing he says is like, I'm not promising you that we're going to see something
or get anything.
He goes, I don't have any device that I can make go off.
So
he's like, if it happens, it happens. The first time I went on the tour, we went through a church, and they always give a donation to the church so that they can use it.
Yeah.
And he always has someone come back with him because this church is like Ghostbuster-style crazy haunted.
Yeah.
So they never go anywhere alone in the church. And he's like, would you come back with me to give the donation? It's like, sure. And we're walking, and he goes, no sooner does he say, let me know if you see anything. And like Scooby-Doo style, I just see like the indentation of footprints on the carpet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So, like, and I see, like, four footprints, and they stop. And I just stop dead in my tracks.
Yeah.
And Luke goes, what did you see? And I told him, and he goes, hold that thought for about 45 minutes, and I'm going to come back to you. So as the tour goes on, we get to this room, and, like, and I'm obviously at this point apprehensive of going into this room.
Sure. Right.
So he tells the story. The head pastor of the church hung himself from a chandelier that hung directly over where I saw the footprint stop.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Well, I'll say this about Stephen DC. All of the haunted house shows that we would set up were always real. But then we would always have ideas in our back pocket just in case.
Nothing happened.
In case nothing happened. And so this one idea, and I don't know who came up with it, Stephen DC, they decided that but that was when Timmy P was with us. He was an intern. And I drove the cutest little blue three-door Saturn with all of my cute interior. Timmy P rode with me that night. And they instructed Timmy P to bring a bottle of Ipecac, which is the stuff that you take that makes you throw up. Because if nothing was happening, we were going to send Timmy P in this room by himself. And he was going to come out of the room and throw up and be like, oh, my God, I don't know what happened to me. I just felt cold and all this stuff. So,
and really, I don't even know that Steve and DC were in on it. I thought that kind of some of us.
It may have been some of us producers that did it.
It may have been me.
Because.
By the way, demons aren't the only people that'll make you throw up. God will do it too.
Oh, yeah?
When I was in college, we were searching for a place to throw a fraternity party, which there was always like each fraternity had one large party each year.
Yeah.
Like we'd have like weekend ones that were just like whatever, but like one big one. And we were looking for a place and we pull up to a church that had a big, like, basically concrete slab with the metal shed over top of it. Perfect for frat boys.
So yes.
Like, everyone can puke or pee or whatever. Everything can be fine. And we're walking up, and I go, I don't know, man. I go, I really don't know if a church is going to rent their shed to frat boys knowing that there's going to be underage drinking.
Yeah.
And my buddy goes, of course they will. And I was like, what makes you say that? And he goes, well, simple. I'm God. Boom. On cue, puked.
Wow. The guy did? Well,
on cue. And he immediately turned to me and he's like,
what the hell
is
that?
I go, tell me you got the flu or something. He's like, I don't know where that came from.
Oh,
I was like,
my God.
Yeah, you do. You and I both know where that came from.
Wow.
Well, Timmy P, you know, he took one for the team because we get to this house and nothing's happening. And so, and we're live on the air. Like, we did these shows live on the air. Nothing was taped. And Stephen DC must have known this because I'll never forget them sending him into the bedroom, you know, because, you know, to whatever. And Timmy P comes back out and he's like, oh, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. But nothing happens. And I think it was DC who's like, well, go back in again.
So,
so they send him back in again.
So he does a double shot.
And he comes, and you're supposed to take like drops of this, okay?
Oh, no.
He comes back out and again, nothing is happening. And so they move on to like another segment, and I think one of them were mad at him. And so Timmy P shows them, he whips out an empty bottle of Ipecac and says, I took it all. It didn't work. So we didn't.
That in of itself is creepy.
So we, the show ends and we are driving home. And I am driving Timmy P.
It's going to work. It's just delayed.
And we are on these back roads in the middle of nowhere. And
Illinois.
He starts screaming at me to pull over. And as I'm pulling over, he literally like opened my door while it was moving and dove out of my car. And he is on all fours throwing up like I've never seen anyone throw up in their life.
Oh, God.
And then he gets back in my car and we make it about 5 minutes and he gets out and throws up again.
I bet that was all night for him.
We make it another five minutes. He gets out and throws up again. And at this point, even though I was a young kid, I knew like something's wrong. So I call 911. And I'm like, and the 911 operator's like, what's your emergency? I'm like, my buddy drank a whole bottle of Ipecac, and now he's throwing up. She's like, why did he drink a whole bottle of Ipecac? And I'm like,
don't ask me questions.
I'm like, we dared him. We, you know, and like that lady hated me. She's like, you kids are stupid, and he's going to be fine. And he, I've never seen, I mean, it probably took me 2 hours to get home that night. Because he just barfed and barfed and barfed and barfed.
I've totally got our link for this, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was, it rivaled the kid that barfed in our car on the home opener.
Alec, yeah.
So, anyway, we got more stuff to talk about. We already ran out of time. See what happens when we don't prepare. I've got all kinds of fun stuff. So, we will be back. We will have a very special guest coming in the next segment. Maybe the next one after that. I don't know. What time is it? 6:13?
Yep.
All right, we got some time. But yeah, our guest is going to be here in just a minute. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show. When the Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai, she was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should have got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup, yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave your, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, and on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she. The Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
You You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. For not planning anything today, I think we're doing pretty good.
This is one of my favorite shows so far.
Yeah, your headphones are messed up again.
I know, I did that on purpose.
It drives me crazy. It looks like a 1980s headband hairdo.
Like the hard plastic ones?
Yes, that's what it reminds me of, is like growing up in Catholic school. We couldn't have any flair. Like a headband
no
was
flare.
As much as we got. Yeah, it was
16 pieces of flair.
It was a good time. So I teased in the last break that we were going to have a guest here today. And she just walked in and she brought me flowers. Everybody, welcome my friend Susan Piles to the show.
Yay!
We try to make it sound like there's so many people clapping. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Hi, Kelly.
Thank
Hi,
you
Haas.
So much
Hello.
For coming. Now, you said that you listened to the show, right? Because when you met Haas, you're like, oh, I get to meet you.
I do.
I'm sorry to disappoint.
Aw.
Never.
Were you surprised that he's actually only 4'2"?
And he, yes. I was happy to see the Blues shirt.
Yeah, yeah. We are big Blues fans here, mm-hmm. so you will see that a lot. Haas pretty much lives in hockey jerseys.
Yeah.
I think I
have like almost 100 jerseys.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like opening Superman's closet, but yep. instead of all the Superman outfits, it's just hockey jerseys. So Susan is here to talk to us today. I was going to try to have you on earlier this month, but I never have my stuff together because it was Suicide Awareness Week earlier in September. But from what I understand, Suicide Awareness is actually the entire month of September.
Yes, it is.
So it kind of, you know, goes throughout the entire month here. And so I wanted to bring you on. First of all, tell all of the listeners a little bit about yourself. Where you were from, or where you're from, how long you've been married, how many babies you've given birth to, so we can get to know you a little bit.
Well, I grew up in Hazelwood,
North County,
close to your husband.
Yes,
and yes, yep. Good old North County. I love North County, still do. And I was raised there since I was born. Went to Hazelwood West.
Yeah.
And today I have been married 32 years.
Oh, God bless you.
And I. have 5 children, and I have 7 grandchildren.
Wow.
7 grandkids.
Yes.
That
is 52.
That is amazing. How
they
exciting.
Are. Now, they're amazing.
So with your 5 kids growing up, did you stay home with them, or did you work, or?
I stayed home with them.
So Dad worked.
Yes.
And where did Dad work?
Boeing.
Boeing.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I was going to say, St. Louis in that era,
Engineers.
It's one of 3 places.
Yeah.
Either Boeing, Anheuser-Busch. Or what was the other one that used to be around here?
McDonnell Douglas?
Well, that would have been Boeing.
That was.
Oh, yeah.
Monsanto.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so Dad worked. You stayed at home with the 5 babies. Mm-hmm. Would you say that your kids had a really pretty typical upbringing?
Yes.
I mean.
Absolutely.
Just
dogs,
regular Midwest.
Rabbits.
Dogs and rabbits.
Nice.
You'd fit right in over here. So
public school, a little bit of Christian school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
And so did you ever in your wildest dreams during those days think that you would, you know, fast forward 20 years and be this advocate for suicide awareness?
No, I never did.
Yeah.
So never crossed my mind.
You have 5 babies. Why don't you list all their names for us from oldest to youngest?
Yes. My oldest, Sayak, is 32.
Mm-hmm.
And an employee of Edward Jones.
Yeah.
And his wife.
Ed Jones.
And
that's
yes.
another big one to work at.
And my newest granddaughter was born in March from them. So that's, mm-hmm. that's a blessing. And then my daughter, Sarah, is 30.
Okay.
And she has 5 children.
And so she's the one that gave you the high
yes.
numbers. Okay.
Man, I'm behind the curve.
They are beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And Brandon would have been 26.
How long ago?
6 years ago.
Six years ago.
Well, he was 19 when he passed away.
Wow. All right. What about the other 2 babies? We don't want to leave them out.
And David is 19 in college, his second year. And my youngest, Emma, is in 7th grade.
Wow. Aww. So still one at home.
Yes.
That makes it easier as they
start
to go out of the nest here.
Seasons,
So your son, Brandon, took his own life. How many years ago?
6.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Brandon? The Brandon before.
Yes. Brandon was the light in the room. He was a joy. Everybody loved Brandon and probably would have wanted to be in his shoes if they would admit it.
Right.
Which they did later.
I've seen so many photos and pictures of him that I feel like I know him. And a lot of the pictures and videos I've seen of him are him singing.
Yes.
And I mean, he had a beautiful voice.
Joyful. Yes.
Did he like to sing? Because a lot of guys get embarrassed about that.
Well, he was quite funny. Growing up, he always liked dirt bikes. Country boy,
mm-hmm.
like the tractor, nice. Grandpa's tractor,
and so handsome,
very handsome,
so
tall,
handsome,
6'5". And as he got older, he was your typical kid. He loved everything. He loved people. He loved life, and he was outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
He went to school and never really missed school for any reason,
right?
And had great friends. And he was in hockey for a while in
grade
school.
All right.
And he got into dirt bike riding, which was really important.
Good.
And then in high school, and he played baseball and everything.
So just,
athletic
kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. And then when he was a sophomore, he was very much into social things at school. You know, he started volleyball when he was mm-hmm. a junior.
Nice.
And that was a passion, which is in my whole family.
So he was a well-liked kid.
Yes. He was on the prom court.
Oh, wow.
All that good stuff.
And very much into doing the video for volleyball just to kind of go through the course of the season. Mm-hmm. And we have that, which is very precious to us.
Sure.
I'm sure.
So when he graduated high school and it came mm-hmm. time to go off to college. Mm-hmm. So he was your third baby to go to college, right?
Yes.
Or
yes.
The third one to at least leave the nest.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And did he stay close to home or did he go away?
He was at Lindenwood. And
Lindenwood grad.
Yeah. And he played, I think he was playing all the volleyball teams. Everybody loved him. Actually, when he started Lindenwood, he did not have enough credits to, or a GPA,
right.
to go in there. So he had to go to the community college and prove himself.
That's
and he
what
had
I
to
had
write,
to do.
Write a letter
yep.
to the board. And I think they loved him before he even got the letter written.
Right.
And the guys did. And they let him go ahead and start volleyball practice.
That's
and
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
It seems like the overly mm-hmm. social kids mm-hmm. just like to spend more time socializing
yeah,
sure. and less time studying.
Yeah,
which
right.
is what I did.
Exactly.
I'll second that.
Yeah. My mom just finally quit going to parent-teacher conferences because they'd say the same thing. They're like, she's such a good kid. Mm-hmm. All she wants to do is talk.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Right.
And so Brandon goes off to college.
Mm-hmm.
And was it his first year in college or his second year?
It was his first.
So let's see. They go away to college in August.
It would have really been his first semester there. He was practicing with the team in the fall.
Okay.
But
oh, wow.
He was actually not enrolled until January of 2010.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his own, backing up into high school, he had his own landscaping business. He was registered in St.
Nice.
Peter's.
Like an early entrepreneur. Yeah.
Very much. He loved entrepreneur. And he mm-hmm. had t-shirts that said plow, pushing limits out of the way.
That's awesome.
He loved to encourage people. And I've heard so many stories about how he would just go out of his way to people, even at Lindenwood, if he mm-hmm. heard the new kid on the block, and going into their room and jumping on their bed and just encouraging them. And that was the kind of kid that he was. He just loved people.
Mm-hmm.
Really did.
Leading up to the days before he killed himself, mm-hmm. Was there a big change in Brandon as he went away to college, or maybe in that last year that looking back you were starting to see?
Well, I did not see anything. The only thing that I had to go on that was a change in him was the week before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
He had called me, and he did not stay at the dorm too much. He had to because he had a team, so
right.
they wanted you to have a room.
But
so he stayed there, but then he would come home and the front room was his when he came in, just so he wouldn't wake up all the other babies in the house.
Sure.
Okay, so he would come home a lot because wasn't very mm-hmm. far away.
No, 10 minutes.
All right, so when you say Absolutely. He didn't stay at the dorm very much, mm-hmm. it wasn't that he was staying at other people's houses.
Right.
It's just I was the same way. I could not right. stand being away from home.
Right. And he was very social, and I know that. I know he was, you know, with his friends
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Right.
But he liked to be at home, especially in the afternoon, because mm-hmm. he still had a business, and he still did retaining walls, and he had a lot of jobs that he was holding down. So he had volleyball, and he had school, and he had... And so everything was, I think he was supposed to be the starter player is what he told me that week before mm-hmm. we talked. And I had pneumonia. I was very ill,
mm-hmm.
very high fever. And he said, Mom, can we talk? Well, me and Brandon were like, we were very, very close, extremely mm-hmm. close. And I would say that I knew everything about my son.
Right.
And I told him, how about tomorrow? I can't get off the couch. And I was the kind of mom that would go out of my way, but I was too ill. And so the next day he drove, we rode up 79 and all around that area for 2 hours, and little baby in the back seat, and she slept and we talked, and he just said, life is so mundane. And I thought, that's interesting to think mm-hmm. that life would be mundane when
you have so much going on.
Yeah. And the star of everything in his life, you know, he was at the peak of things. And
did he elaborate on why he felt it was mundane? Or
I remember him saying that, you know, they want me to be the starter player in volleyball. That wasn't surprising.
That should be a good thing.
That was a good thing. So I thought, well, you know, maybe you have too much going on, and you know, maybe you need to drop something in your life.
Sure.
Because when you have too much going on, you have to evaluate, you know, and discern what needs to happen. What's your priority? And
yeah.
So we talked about that, and we talked about how life is mundane at times. A mom goes through a lot of mundane, and everybody does.
Absolutely.
And life is like that. And so we just discussed, you know, those mm-hmm. issues in detail. And when I look back, I can't think of anything I would have said any different to him.
Yeah.
How did the conversation end? Did you feel like it ended on an up note, like he was feeling better? Or did you feel like it was something you guys might continue talking about next time you talk to him?
Yeah, I felt like we would continue this conversation. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't an out of sorts conversation. It wasn't like, wow, that was really different.
There weren't alarm bells ringing, you know.
We talked like that a lot during a week.
Yeah.
Just because that's who he was. We are both very much alike, where mm-hmm. we just like to kind of analyze things and know people. And
that's a good relationship to have with your kids. I feel like mm-hmm. I have that with mine. And they're much smaller. You know, Brandon was in college, mm-hmm. but, mm-hmm. You know, that he would open up to you.
Yeah.
It says a lot.
Right.
So was that the last conversation you had with him?
Not the last full conversation. Mm-hmm. Probably, I remember on Friday, he wanted to go see his grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking to take his little brother, who would have been in seventh grade at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember exactly where I was. Everything that happened that week, I remember where I was. And mm-hmm. I think that was a gift.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a gift to be able to look back at. And when you are past the point of your burying your son, you have guilt to deal with. You have anger. You have all kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me to be able to look back and think there wasn't really anything I could have done different with what I knew.
With what
That's,
you knew.
That is a very
comforting.
Even more than comforting, that's a very healthy thing to say, because mm-hmm. I don't have children,
mm-hmm.
But I can only imagine, like you said, the amount of guilt you want to put on yourself,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to be able to really reflect on yourself and know in your core,
mm-hmm.
I did what I could.
Absolutely.
That's a huge place to get to.
Right. It is. It is. And the aftermath. And that is the part of my purpose now. Mm-hmm. I have changed so much.
Yeah.
I am a different person. And my mission is very specific things and telling people. Because you don't want anybody to have to live with guilt.
Of course.
Especially after they bury a child and they can't change anything about that relationship.
Well, just he came home that weekend and he went to go mm-hmm. visit his grandparents.
Yes.
With his little brother.
No, I was going to. His little brother couldn't go because it was hunting season mm-hmm. that weekend. Mm-hmm. And so I offered to go. How about if I go? And looking back, my oldest son and my daughter, oldest daughter, said to me, Mom, there's no way he would have let you gone, because we can look back now and we are, you know, we know that he had a plan. And the way things rolled, we think he definitely had a plan.
And he was saying goodbye.
He was saying goodbye. And Mom would have, it was a 5-hour drive, and Mom would have probably got that out of him and would have changed his course of thinking.
Yeah.
And he was set already. Mm-hmm. We feel confident about that.
Hindsight is always 20/20. As this was rolling out, mm-hmm. and I know you had the talk with him where you said life was mundane. I think that most kids of that age, when you go through your first semester mm-hmm. of college, I know I went through it. I can't speak for Kelly, but mm-hmm. I think most kids, that's really their first taste of being an adult.
Right.
Because you were, right. I mean, you were on your own to get yourself up, mm-hmm. go to class, mm-hmm. eat, do whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. It's the first time where, like, the cord is cut.
Right.
And there's a lot of kids who have that shock of, this is what life's going to be like.
Yes.
As this was happening, did you just think that this is, well, he's going through the growing pains of the transition? Mm-hmm. Or was there mm-hmm. something like, wait a minute?
Yeah, I just thought, I didn't go to college. Right. I got married when I was 19 and had a child right away. And I did not go through that, but just wisdom
yeah.
told me that this is what you do with your sure. kids. You start transitioning in, mm-hmm. into growing into yeah. being an adult, but this is temporary.
Absolutely.
This is not permanent.
Right, because like I said, I think every kid to an extent
yeah. goes through that.
Has those yes. growing pains mm-hmm. of trying, like, you know, even when in high school, when you think you're an adult because you're 18, mm-hmm. you still have mom making you dinner every night.
Right.
And like, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you may have a job, but mm-hmm. you know, you're working a part-time job. And
mm-hmm. College is when you start appreciating your parents.
It mm-hmm. is.
That's when you start beginning the friendship with your parents is yes. when you start in college.
You start realizing right. your parents actually do know what they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
And yeah. so Brandon goes to visit his grandparents mm-hmm. over the weekend. And did he go back to school on Monday?
So Monday morning he has class. He didn't. He was starting to do a job. I was taking care of elderly people at mm-hmm. the time, just on my own business.
Just on the side.
During the day. And I was getting ready to leave, and he came in. And that was typical for him. And he had breakfast. And but after I left, I heard a few things that were a little out of sorts, but I did not know that because I wasn't home.
Right.
He gave his cell phone to our youngest son. Mm-hmm. And which was
like as a gift he gave it to him, like yeah. you can have this.
Yeah, as if he maybe people thought he was going to get a new cell phone.
Right.
They really don't know what that was about. And he slept on the couch a lot that morning and interacted with my grandchildren that were there. Mm-hmm. And typically I would have said, don't you have to go to work now?
Right.
So I would have questioned that. And then I was gone, and then I accidentally called him at 1 o'clock that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, Brian, you know, I didn't mean to call you, but I'll just tell you I love you.
A butt dial or just a... Right.
I accidentally called him, and I just said, I love you. That was my last words to him.
Did you talk to him, or did you leave him a message?
I talked to him.
Okay, so he picked up.
He heard me.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, and then I know that the course of that day, that afternoon, was full of things. He cleaned his truck out. He had a really nice truck that mm-hmm. was totally spotless. He cleaned it out.
Wow.
He was with I think he had a bucket list the day before he went skydiving.
Oh my gosh.
He called the whole family together and said, I have a video I need you all to see. And I'm like, okay. So I turned my car around. We all saw the, you know, it was really exciting, and we knew he wanted to do that.
And it was a skydiving video.
Right.
That he showed you.
We knew that he wanted to do that, but it was like, okay, because maybe he thought mom would say, please don't do that.
Right. Well, I did the same thing when I went skydiving. I told my mom I was going outlet mall shopping, and then I came home and popped it. I'm like, Mom, I did that for you. I didn't want you to worry.
Right. So that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So we all saw this, and you know, and then we went over to my brother's because mm-hmm. I forgot there was a gathering over there. And so we were all together. Mm-hmm. Everybody, he got to say goodbye.
And he seemed like, and he was in a fine mood.
Yeah, he was normal because he was mm-hmm. always cheerful. I mean, it wasn't like he was perfectly happy all the time going
Nobody
through
is.
High
Nobody
school.
Is.
He had his moments like
right,
everybody else. And when I see the signs of suicidal mm-hmm. Thoughts, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I had those yesterday or I
yeah,
had those
of course.
Last week.
I'm glad you say that because there's times where I'll read the stuff and I'm like, yeah, I think about, I'll look at the 10 things and I was like,
right.
Yep. Right. It's not that uncommon, I don't think.
I don't think so.
To have those thoughts.
I mean, we live in a broken world.
It's absolutely.
Pretty awful sometimes. And
I think it's also just human nature to kind of question your yeah, role in it.
Absolutely.
Like what am I doing here? Why am I here?
Right.
Who was the last person to see Brandon alive or talk to him?
Well, And these are a lot of things that I have gleaned from because of what I look back on now. And I've tried to get as many details as possible. And so I've seen how he had, you know, said goodbye and gave away lots of things. There wasn't a whole lot left in his room. And then later I would hear so-and-so had that sweatshirt. And I would be like, I wonder where that, you know, where his Fox sunglasses went that he just bought. And his brand new tennis shoes he just bought this week. And things were just gone. And he had been giving things away. And that was really painful to sort through, you know, months later. But so I know he was at the park with all of his friends on that Saturday after he got back from grandma's because he didn't stay long. And then we had been trying to get a hold of him that weekend, and he wasn't picking up his phone. And sometimes that's typical
for a teenager. Yeah,
he's 19.
Send mom to voicemail.
Doesn't
send
want mom and dad calling him all the time. Right. So we, you know, so that was okay. At least we had been calling him. And then we got together that Sunday night, and then Monday afternoon, he was supposed to meet somebody for work. He called his very best friend, and his very best friend had moved on out of his college and got a job. And I heard that he had talked to him for quite a while that afternoon. And then the girl that he was dating just, you know, recently and went skydiving with, he had been with her all afternoon and cleaned the truck. And I didn't know all that. Only because of her, I knew that.
Right.
And then he mentioned something to her about, let's just run away to, I don't know what state he said. And she was like, don't be silly. I got to go to work right now.
Right. I don't have time for that in my schedule today.
And her dorm was right across from his dorm at Lindenwood.
Okay.
And so she got out and she did say that he was sitting in his truck for a while. And she could just see that. And, you know, that's typical stuff, you know, girlfriend, you know, seeing where boyfriend is. And apparently he had gone to Kentucky Fried Chicken after he dropped her off because I found the receipt in the car. And that was the last person that would have saw him is at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And after I worked at Subway all last year, that changed my whole, I was just diving into people. Hello.
Coming
hi,
through
smile.
The
girl.
Right.
This might be the last person that I am in, you know, they're in contact with today.
People are probably like, this Subway lady is really friendly.
And I felt like I was, and I pretty much try to be that way everywhere I go because you do not know what one person is going through.
No,
of course.
You don't.
And that was really important to me today because of that receipt. And then he went on to his, it wasn't much later because he, I believe the ambulance was called about a little after 4 o'clock, and he shot himself in his dorm. And the RA, somebody heard something.
Sure.
And so the RA went in there and found him.
Those dorms are close together, so yeah, I'm sure it was heard.
Right. And the ambulance came, and he passed in the hospital 5 minutes after I arrived. But I think I was the last person to know, besides my husband.
Right.
My husband was in the desert in California, and they didn't get a hold of him for hours.
Oh, no.
And so at about 4:30, SWAT came to my door, and my husband works for Boeing for aircraft.
Right.
And I'm thinking,
there was an accident.
They said, there's been an accident. And I said, my husband's in California. And they said, at Lindenwood. And so you just go into, you know, you just go into mode.
Everything like, is swirling.
And they drove me to the hospital. And
did you have your smaller kids at home with you?
I had everybody at home. So, I mean, our grandchildren were there. And
did they tell you exactly what had happened?
No, I did not know this. And I don't know if I was just in shock and I just didn't hear.
Right.
But by the time we got to the close to the hospital, I asked them what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was that, I don't know what it was that made me think I, you know, when they just said there's been an accident and the SWAT team would come.
Yeah.
You would think all of us here in sound mind that would be the first question out of your mouth. But I guess in a sense of panic.
Let's go. Yeah.
And protection.
Of course.
Because you know you have this family in your house.
Right.
And my kids, these men would not leave my side. They walked with me everywhere in the house. And it was very frightening.
Sure.
And I don't know if they said something that already gave me, you know, if they said it was with a gun. I don't even remember that.
How did they answer you when you asked what happened?
So when we almost were there, I said, you know, what happened? And they said, he shot a gunshot wound to the head. And I said, he's not going to make it. Because I just think I've known people that have taken their life and I don't know anybody that survived.
Did they say it was self-inflicted at the time?
Or yes, they did. Okay. And so, you know, we get to the hospital and everybody, my church elders, my mom, my family is there.
How fast did they know? Just by phone?
And everybody assumed I knew. And there was kids from our church that went to Lindenwood and the word just got around social media.
Holy crap.
Making dinner for people. So I wasn't aware
It's amazing how fast that could travel on social media that those people can know and be on site.
So they were already at the hospital.
Before you are.
They were already there. The waiting room was packed. And people were just, there was wailing, there was, and I just turned around and I said, God is not surprised by this. And I don't, you know, my faith is really strong. And I just looked at the doctor and I said, I want to see my son. And he went on to say, you know, we've tried to restart his heart 3 times and he just passed. And so that was, I can still hear the sounds in the room because my kids are there and you've got to be strong. My husband's not there and he doesn't even know. So, and then immediately we're big people to donate after, you know, if somebody else can use your body.
We absolutely. Just think
that, and of course, of course.
So we've all signed that. And my son was another one of, he was a donor and they immediately came to me because they have to know right away. And they said, your son is a donor, but you can still, I guess, under a certain age, you can deny that.
Okay.
Really?
And I asked my children if they were okay with that, and they're absolutely. So,
did he leave a note of any kind?
No. Oh, I have prayed that if there's a good note that comes out of something so tragic, that I would uncover it. I tried to uncover, even 3 years later, I wanted all the records at the hospital 3 years later. I couldn't deal with it until then. I got 32 pages of records that they wrote from the ambulance call all the way to his death.
So who called the ambulance?
I guess the RA.
The RA? Okay.
So they do not miss a beat. It's pretty incredible.
Wow.
The notes that you get.
Right. So they did everything they could to save him, and there was no, even though he was technically still alive, there was no signs of life.
He was brain dead.
He wasn't talking to anyone or anything like that. And so
and I went to the police department that many years later because I think I recall they keep everything for a certain number of years. And I wanted his clothes and I wanted everything that was on his body. So I just in case there was a note or anything.
Right.
And there nothing to be found. And yeah, it's
and
it's
did your husband tragic. Then have to fly home?
Yes, he had to fly home immediately from the desert. He just walked away and it took him all night to get home. And we met, all of us met as a family in the airport and went straight to the funeral home the next morning and had to make those decisions. It's surreal. It's just surreal.
How long has it been now since Brandon passed away?
It's been 6 years.
It's been 6 years. Mm-hmm. Does it feel like it's been 6 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does it?
You know, I lost my dad, which you cannot compare, you know, to losing a child. You're supposed to bury your parents. But I just remember after he had passed, it had just been, for the longest time, I felt like I had just talked to him. Mm-hmm. And then it hit a point where it started feeling like it had been a long time since I had talked to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was hard.
Yeah, there's not a word for that emotion. It's not.
No, I couldn't imagine it for a child. Mm-hmm. How shocked were you? I mean, did something in your mom's heart say, of course he did. Now this all makes sense. Or did you spend years and years and years saying, this doesn't make any sense. He was good looking. He was popular. He was happy. He, you know, he had his faith. He had his friends.
This didn't make any sense. The only thing, and this was the only reason I bring this up, is because I have my own list of signs that don't go with the professional. That's why I don't, when I speak at times, when I have opportunities at a church or a school, I like to speak as a mom, because there's things
and not that, as a professional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like I said, that list doesn't go with my son. That list goes with any normal person.
And I think that you say something that's very true, is that, you could be a professional and learn the size that, you know, you're supposed to look for this, you're supposed to look for that. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to be someone who's lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where, like we said earlier, you could look at the list of warning signs and almost every one of us is going to say, yeah, I show probably 3 or 4 of those signs at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's completely different to be a mother who's had to deal with it and say, you know, the professionals say you need to look for this. Now let me tell you what it's like.
Is there anything else you would hit on as far as warning signs? I mean, giving their stuff away is one that we all know.
So I think it's important to see tattoos. Tattoos are a big deal these days, right? And everybody seems to have a story about their tattoo.
Yeah, I've got 2 of them.
And I
do not.
I don't have any either, but I'm thinking about that semicolon. Your story isn't over yet. But I believe he was a junior in high school, and I do not know what year it was, that he's always wanted a tattoo. And so he was 17. I remember that part, because we kind of want to stick to the rules so we don't get in trouble.
Right. Because they have to be 18.
So I'm like, Brandon, you have to wait till you're 18. And so one night he came home and he was like straight in his bedroom, and that was not like
something's
him.
Up.
And I was like, he got that tattoo. I know he did. So I went down there and I said, get out of bed.
Get out of bed and get undressed and show me what you got.
Right. So he had a tattoo and it had piles all the way down his side. And it was a time that he was going through just, you know,
typical
for
hard
parents,
stuff.
It's like, that'll pass.
Of course.
You know, girl stuff, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he said, it's just, you know, it's just going to remind me, you know, to not ever think about taking my life. He did say that.
Wow. Interesting.
So that was, and then we did get into counseling just for a short time. It was just the short little time that was, you know, common. And kids will say that or they won't say it, and they might feel it. But he was real transparent. And so that is, to me, if somebody gets a tattoo and it's your child, especially, you know, what does that mean? And so that was something that's important, and just seeing them give away things. And I've read a lot where I've heard that there's like a period, and I don't know how we know all of these things, but it kind of made sense with Brandon after I read it, that there's a period where they just kind of give up on things.
Yeah.
And why they make that decision, I have no idea. Because
things they would have normally cared about.
I don't think there's any reason that you can't get any help, no matter what you're going through. And I know that, I know there's people that take their life because of their health. Maybe they're just, you know, they've had it. They just can't feel like they can bear it. Or there's, you know, mental illness, obviously.
Sure.
And I know that there's great medications, and sometimes we have to find the right one. And I'm not saying Brandon didn't have a medical condition. I don't know. He was never diagnosed
with one.
There's
a lot of that.
Right.
Well, and I think some of it is the age, too.
And being a boy and not wanting to.
There's, you know, you go internally and externally through so many changes in your late teens. I know someone who I won't name, but very close to me, who told me later down the road that at 4 separate occasions during high school was in the kitchen with a knife and basically was sitting there going, everyone says these are supposed to be the best days of my life. And if this is as good as it's going to get, then I want out.
Yeah.
And 4 different times she was there with the knife and set it down. And you know, thank God she did.
Right.
But, I think that there's something with that age where, and mm-hmm, interesting you brought up the tattoo with the stuff about girl problems, because my first thought as we started going down this path with you was, I bet you there was a girl involved.
Was there a girl problem?
And then you said, oh, you know, he's with his girlfriend the day of, and I'm like, okay, well then that's out the window.
Right.
Because I've never been to that point, but my freshman year of college, I broke up with, well, I was dumped by my first girlfriend, who I was certain we were going to get married.
Right.
And it,
the love of your life.
And it knocked the pins out from under me.
Sure, absolutely.
For a good month. And I, like, to the point where people on my basketball team had to come and take me to dinner. My coach basically put me on, like, don't leave him alone watch.
Right, right.
So it's interesting to see that, like, that wasn't part of it. Like,
I want to talk a little bit about some of the things you've got written down there, because at some point in the swirling darkness, you know, of giving the most sour lemon life has to offer, you started making something that resembled lemonade.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And at some point, you started crawling out of that swirling darkness. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you did it.
Yeah.
Because when I see people like you, I don't know how you put one foot in front of the I don't know how you brushed your teeth this morning. I don't know how you brushed your teeth the last 6 years.
It's a huge credit to you.
Yeah. And to see somebody like you sitting here, you have such a beautiful heart.
Yeah.
And you have such a gift that you can share. Because not everybody can do that. Not everybody can lose their son and then start talking about it to everybody and helping other people. And so you are involved in a couple of different things here. You wanted to talk about, tell me about Dr. Wohlfelt, W-O-L-F-E-L-T. Who is he?
Well, he is an author, and we got in touch with him. We did not go to any groups of grieving.
Oh, wow.
I know that I think it's a great thing to do. We are very grounded in our church and just have very close people that have walked with us. And I am not saying that maybe there will be a day where I will want to go to a support group, because there is a continual cloud that hangs over your head when you lose a child, especially by suicide. And I just, I want to encourage people to get help wherever that is.
Right.
You know, I mean, and there are people that are friends that we have that are counselors that I just get to talk to as a friend. So I have had counsel. But this man, we heard about through Bowie Funeral Home. And I was closed to that, and my husband was going, and he's like, honey, you have to go. This man is amazing. He will touch every part of you that you have a wound and help you with that. And so we are trying to encourage. We have other friends that have lost a child in the last year.
It's got to be very difficult to talk about in the immediacy that follows, let alone with someone who's a stranger. So yeah, I could see why people would be closed off, but I can also see why it's so important to talk to someone and not keep it bottled up.
Because grieving doesn't have a timeline.
No, it doesn't.
They always describe it as an ocean, and you're sitting on the beach and you don't know how big the next wave is going to be.
Absolutely.
Is Dr. Wohlfelt, is he involved in the walk you're doing? Is it October 18th?
I do not know if he's involved in that. I would say no.
But the walk you're doing is on October 18th.
The walk
is, that right?
is October 2nd. The seminar for Dr. Wohlfelt is
October. Oh, this is
October.
A seminar.
Yeah, that's a seminar, and it's one night, and it's Tuesday, October 18th from 6:30 to 9 at the Family Arena.
Wow.
And it's free, and Bowie Funeral Home sponsors that, and it is just something that you have to experience, because it will help so much in areas where you just feel like you are lost.
So that seminar is for people who have lost others or have questions or anything like that.
It's all about grieving.
And then, of course, there is the National... I can almost read your handwriting. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.
Out of the Darkness on October 2nd?
Yes, that's next Sunday.
Is that the walk?
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It's at Creeps Core Lake.
Mm-hmm. Do you, and we're going to post all of this at kellymano.com. Do you like when people talk about Brandon?
I love when people talk about Brandon.
Isn't it such a misconception that that people think you don't want to hear about your loved one that has passed?
Yeah.
And so you have a Facebook page.
Yes.
And it is just called In Remembrance of Brandon Piles.
Yes.
P-Y-L-E-S.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're okay with total strangers joining that?
Absolutely. And I write on there at 2 a.m. mm-hmm. or 2 p.m. or it's my little book of encouraging people. And just there's so much hope. Mm-hmm. There's so much hope that you want to help kids to know that whatever they're feeling, if it's, you know, if it's a medical thing, mm-hmm. get help. There's help for whether it's a mental illness or if it's a temporary thing that feels mm-hmm. like I can't bear this. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And there's a gazillion people, whether they're strangers or your family. And if that first person won't listen, go to the second person, go to the third, go to your teacher, go to your principal, mm-hmm. go to your pastor, go to somebody else's mother.
Yeah.
But all the other thing I want to stress is make sure that if you hear that somebody is, you know, struggling and they're saying they have a plan or I just want to die, I want out of here, go to people that know that person.
Yes.
Because there were words that some people had an idea, and but they did not know us.
Right.
And that's, we didn't know that till after he had died.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, people just don't always know what to do with that because we're all struggling in this broken world. We're all struggling.
Right. And nobody wants to step in everything else's business and you know, or get involved. But
And they don't know if they're serious because nobody would have ever thought Brandon would have taken his life.
Right.
They would have never thought that. And so if you hear that, but just to know that there is hope. There's hope.
Yeah.
We can all help each other.
Can I share some photos of Brandon at kellymano.com?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because I feel like by this far in this conversation, I feel like the listeners probably feel like they know him.
He's a normal kid. He's your next door neighbor.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, again, a very good thing to point out. Is, you know, it's not always the sad kid in the corner.
It's not.
You know, a lot of times the people who look the happiest and seem the happiest are often the ones who are struggling the most.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So we will get all of this information up at kellymano.com, all of the suicide awareness, Dr. Wolfit, everything that I listed off earlier will be up at kellymano.com if you want to take a look at that, as well as the link to the Facebook page for Brandon and some photos of him. Thank you for coming in and for
You're
sharing
welcome.
Your heart. And
my pleasure.
I've been looking forward to talking to you for weeks. And when I knew that September was Suicide Awareness Month, I just knew the woman to go to. So thank you for coming in. You
thank
are helping
you.
So many
thank
people.
Yeah.
We will be right
for sure.
back. It is the Kelly Mano Show.
Princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Hello. It's poppin'. Okay, then. It's poppin'. I gotta ask him. Cause if I don't, it's poppin'. I don't know. It's poppin'. Let's go. What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know? My lip gloss is cool.
How the hell do we top that?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think there's anything.
I can give her the greatest compliment I can, which is she knocked the sarcasm out of me.
She really did, which is hard for people to do.
I don't think even when we were talking about the guy who had died and things like that, I can still make snarky comments and what do you say?
Right.
That's a phenomenal story. And Like, the one thing that, you know, I didn't say it to her because I don't know how she's going to take it, but it's like, right. You know, she seems very faith-based, and that's great. Very, and I'm one of those people that kind of think, like, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
And it's like, God, you hope that, like, the plan is not to take your child away from you.
Right.
But if that doesn't happen, she doesn't become this.
Right.
And what she is right now is... Mm. One hell of an educational tool for great. Anyone.
And she doesn't, I told her, I'm like, you should be like public speaking on a regular basis.
I agree.
You know, especially at colleges and freshman orientations. And she's just such an open book.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I get that, you know, you're helping the greater good, but I don't know if I could relive that part of my life over and over again. And to do it in such a positive way.
I know, like with smiling, you know, with tears in her eyes, but smiling,
yeah.
Because you can tell, like, she's excited to keep his name alive, you know, in any way she can. And if it's through helping other people, then that's how she chooses to do it. But
what I took out of it the most was, and I mentioned it as we were saying goodbye to her on the air, was you listen to the way that she describes her son and he seems like the kid who's the most popular kid in school.
Yeah.
And he's so involved and has friends and has a girlfriend that it's not always the person who you think needs help.
Nope.
That's the one that needs help.
Wait till you see the pictures of him. I'm going to put them up at KellyManor.com so you can kind of see a little bit more about him. I had something else I was going to say and then I forgot. Oh, just that, you know, interviews like that are kind of far and few between from us because I always feel like...
Try to keep it fun and light.
Yeah, I feel like I'm better at fart jokes than I am at, you know, interviewing somebody who went through something so hard.
I definitely am.
But it's part of growing as a radio person.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to call it?
Sure.
So hopefully the listeners enjoyed that last segment. If you did, I would love to hear from you, especially some encouragement because I get all nervous and weird when I have to do serious stuff.
This is another one of those, to go back to the 90s sitcoms, a very special Kelly Mano show.
This is a very special edition of the special edition of the Kelly Mano show. So we are going to wrap up the show, but not before we celebrate something, because today you start the last month of your
30s.
Ugh. So when is your actual birthday? I need to write this down so I don't forget.
October 25th.
October 25th.
Yep.
Do you want a midget stripper or would you prefer like a horse size stripper, like a 7 foot tall?
You can surprise me.
I've never
I've never had the whole like surprise birthday thing.
You've never had a surprise stripper.
Well, not I've had a surprise stripper.
Okay.
But I've never had like the whole surprise on my birthday thing. So
I can't give you like a surprise party because then you would know because we just talked about it.
I have the memory of a gnat.
Oh, okay.
I will forget this conversation before I get out of your subdivision.
That helps a lot. So what are you doing on Facebook? Something about...
Well, I think I decided what I'm going to do is because Facebook right now is so... just filled with political crap and stuff like that.
Terrible.
That I think I want to take the last 30 days of me being in my 30s and I'm going to start at age 10 and each day is going to be like, this is what I remember from when I was 10 years old.
No, 11 years old, you got to share a picture then.
Yeah, I'll go to my mom and dad's and find pictures of me from each year.
All right, so if people want to follow you on Facebook and see that, you're just under Chris Frank, right?
Yeah.
So you're pretty easy to find.
Or go to Kelly Mano's page because I'm likely the first post on that page.
Because you post in there more than I do because you are more dedicated to the show than I am.
I do what I
can. Because I can't keep my brain on straight. We actually have some really big news coming up here with the Kelly Mano show. You know, we are a podcast. We record the show and then we pop it right up. There's no editing. There's no anything. But the only element that's been missing this whole time is that I hate that we're not live.
Yeah.
And so not next show, but the next show.
It's coming.
It's coming. We are going to be live. And you are going to be able to call into the show. And we have to do something really special for the first caller.
Okay.
How much you want to bet it's one of our moms?
No, I guarantee you it won't be mom.
No, because they'll never figure out the phone.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So it won't be. But we have to do some big celebration for the first caller. Because, we are going to be going live here in 2 weeks. And just around the first of the year. Which I know sounds like it's far away, but it's not.
It's really not. I mean, we're going to be in October next week.
You are going to have so much of Hoss and Kelly, you're going to be sick of us.
And that doesn't take a lot.
Let's just say a lot of us. I can't say a whole lot else. All I can say is that big, big things are happening behind the scenes. And for the first time in a long time, we are looking for new advertisers for the show. I'm going to be like mailing out some packages, and we've got some... because the show is expanding, not because we need advertisers, but when you multiply the show times 4 or 5, you have more openings. So if you have a business and you're interested in advertising with the Kelly Mano Show, I would love to sit down, meet with you, talk with you, send you information, because podcasts are the new black, people.
Yep.
This is where it's at. People are setting aside time in their day to listen to podcasts, so the return on investment people are getting is just amazing. It's why you see advertisers like Rachel Witt and JM Motors and Tan Any, who have been with me from the beginning, because it works.
Yes.
If you like the show, share the show. Especially today, share it for our guest, Susan, please.
100%.
I mean, share it for her. I mean, her heart is so big, and she just wants people to know about her son. So please, go on your Facebook and just share the show. Copy the link from KellyMano.com. Share it with your friends so that they can listen. And we will be back, who knows when. I'm going to quit saying in a couple days because I just lied to you.
Was this 3 weeks in a row?
Pretty much, yep. But we love you for listening. And until I see you next time, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smartassy.
Blues are back. Woo! We're winning our second game of the day, 3-0.
All right, that makes me very, very happy. We will talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Thank you very much.